the challenge, we give the game our all. With sheer determination, we're going for the ball. For the Cloud Thunder's Go Cats, we break the banner down. We know they'll play with courage till the final siren sounds. And the rival team will know that they've been run down by a pack. But you're eaten by, beaten by, defeated by the Cats. In a cat attack, Go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, Go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. In a cat attack, Go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong. A cat attack, Go Cats, a cat attack, Geelong.
Welcome back to the Cat Attack Podcast 2019 style, hitting you harder than a nightclub bouncer this season. Looking forward to it. We're on the eve, the precipice of what should be an absolute humdinger of a 2019 home and away season. And the Pussycats are going to be right in the thick of it. Will it be good? Will it be bad? And the fact that I think most Cat fans are a little unsure about what might happen this year suggests there's a little unease in the camp. Ben Castagnoli with you. I should just point that out. I'm back again for another season. And I'm joined by Tom King, K-Rock's number one caller. There's daylight between the second caller and Tom King. And he's joining me again, Kingy, for what he promises to be just an absolute rip-snorter.
I'll let Koza know and Chuck know that you said that, Benny. I'm sure they'll be wrapped to get that under their belt to start the season.
Yes, look, I'm sure they will too, Kingy. They don't. They know that there is the daylight between you. Be eased down on the line, all-star mile style, I would have thought. Kingy, we've obviously done a couple like training games for the Cats. And look, they were okay against the Bombers. And I don't know what you read into those games. I mean, you remember last year, I think Essendon won both their games and then fell out of the blocks. North Melbourne got absolutely thrashed and started 5-1. So I'm not sure what you read into those, other than players got a little bit of form. One thing we were talking about, you know, more off-air potentially than on-air for those two JLT games, was that the Cats are one of the teams where they could finish top four and you'd say, well, they've recruited to finish top four. Or they could miss the eight and you'd say, well, I'm not surprised. They're one of those teams where I don't think anybody really has any idea where the Cats might finish in 2009.
No, but we're going to get an early idea, I reckon. That first 6 weeks...
Yeah, that's tough.
That is tough. And I know three of them are down here. They have to win at least two of the three down here. If the Cats get out of the first 6 weeks 3-3, I reckon that's a fantastic result. So Collingwood at the G, tough. Melbourne down here, tough.
We should have beaten them down here last year.
Melbourne should have won down here. Melbourne should have won round one. Geelong's season would have looked completely different without those two Melbourne wins. Correct. They wouldn't have made the eight.
Crows in Adelaide. Pooey.
Tough. Giants back here in round four. Well, we're just not sure about the Giants yet and what they're going to be like, but you think they're going to be competitive. Round five, Hawks on Easter Monday. I think the Cats win that. I think Hawthorn are now...
No, Tom Mitchell.
Yeah, that era's, if it wasn't already done, is, I think this will be the exclamation
mark. You'd have to say, just looking at that.
And the Eagles in round six back here on a Sunday twilight.
That's tough. You'd have to look at it. They're probably going to start underdogs against the Pies.
Yep.
If they lose that, probably likely to start potentially underdogs, or it'll be a 50-50 split against the Ds.
Mm-hmm.
They'll start underdogs against the Crows over there. Depending if they were zipping three, GWS down here potentially start underdogs down here against GWS. 50-50 split against the Hawks.
On Easter Monday always.
And if the record was, let's say, 1-4 or 1-5 going into the Eagles games, they probably start underdogs.
Yep.
It would be a long, long, long time since Geelong started potentially four or five of the opening six rounds as the underdog.
Yep. Probably too.
Which suggests where they're at.
Yeah, you probably have to go back to 2004.
It's a really interesting year for the Cats. I mean, I know last couple of seasons the club have spruced that they're in transition.
No, that's done. There's no more
transition. I agree with that. And transition is a term that clubs tend to throw up as a positive or in transition. So therefore, that has to be a positive. We had list turnover. That has to be a positive. Would Geelong have recruited to be at the pointy end of the ladder? They haven't recruited to be in transition.
No.
You don't pick up, you know, we've mentioned it ad nauseum, Dangerfield, Scott Selwood, Zach Tui, Lockie Henderson. You go and get Zach Smith. You get Reece Stanley. I'm probably missing. Now you go and get Gary Rowan, Luke Dalhouse. You've got a team. Half the team is recycled from other clubs who were established players at other clubs.
Yep.
So you're not doing that.
And that's not to
finish eighth.
That's not to mention the likes of Mitch Clark, Aaron Black,
all the failed ones.
Yeah.
Hamish McIntosh.
Yep.
Mitch White.
Oh,
That's probably Gumbo.
That's not Chris Scott's.
Yes, no,
that's a little bit harsh.
A little bit of humour.
Not bad from you.
But they've recruited to be at the pointy end, so I'm not buying for 1 second this sort of transition rubbish.
So there's only four premiership players left from 2011.
Duncan,
Selwood, Hawkins, Taylor. And then you've got Gaz, obviously, from 07 and 09.
So and Ablett was the other one I mentioned. You get Ablett back too. So it's here or now, because I don't know what the makeup of that team is going to be in 3 or 4 years' time.
It's going to look nothing like...
You shudder to think what might happen in 3 or 4 years' time.
This will be who will be gone in 3 to 4 years' time. So Selwood's contracted, I think, till the end of 2021.
Well, he's 30, isn't he? Not going to be 30.
He's nearly 31, yep. Yeah. So he's contracted till the end of 21. So that'll take him to 33. Hawkins is a similar age, and he will probably be done.
Is he out of contract this year or next year?
Next year, I believe. Zach Tui has 2 more years to run, but he will be 31, I think, at the end of
Lockie Henderson's over 30.
Henderson's out of contract at the end
Harry
of this year.
Harry Taylor will be gone at the end of this year.
He's out of contract at the end of this year.
Yeah, look, there's a lot of experience is going to walk out that door in the next 2 to 4 years, or next 1 to 4 years.
But even Mitch Duncan in 4 years' time.
He's 30. Plus 31,
maybe 30. Yeah, 30, yeah,
yeah, yeah. Look, it's in, and so they've. What my point is that they've recruited for now. Now, last year they were lucky to make finals.
Yeah, the two Melbourne.
And
results.
The irony is that they've changed the transition, and they keep spruiking the transition of the list. But yet, from my eye, it was odd that there was no transition of any coaching staff.
I haven't changed anything. There's been some minor adjustments to roles. Nigel Lappin's gone back into the box, as opposed to being a development coach and being the runner. And I suspect that's got to do with. That the runners don't have the freedom that they once did. So that means, well...
So they could use pothole.
They could use pothole, potentially. You'd have to be quick, though, because there's not a lot of time.
By the time the message went out, it'd be actually the fifth quarter. The game would be over. And pothole would have sandwiches hanging out the corner of his mouth.
So for those who don't know, pothole is a loved member of the K-Rock football family and takes all of our jibes in very, very good humour.
Why is he called pothole?
Because he's always in the road.
It's a very good nickname.
It's one of the great nicknames. Anyway, so Nigel Latham's gone back into the box, and basically he is now, from what I can gather, 2IC in the box.
Is the area of concern, or for mine last year, the area of concern was obviously, and it's ironic that I'm saying it, but the area of concern was obviously forward. There was issues forward in terms of the mix. Not having Radical Ed didn't help. I understand all that. And potentially some leg speed, defensive pressure, all that. I understand all that. But the bigger problem for me was the midfield and its capacity to dictate the tempo of games and the ease with which they were scored against at times and the lack of defensive
running.
But
Geelong still had the second best defence in the competition.
The defence was okay.
In terms of points conceded.
That's right. And that's because I reckon their defence was really good last year. That was the shining light for them last year. The other issue, obviously, for the Cats on the eve of this season is obviously defence. Harry Taylor, Lockie Henderson, Mark Blitzhardt.
They can't coexist in the one back line.
Well, I don't think they can either, but they seem intent on trying it.
Well,
that means that somebody like a Jack Henry or a Jake Colajasny or a Tom Stewart.
Well,
where's Tom Stewart?
Where's Jake Colajasny at if he didn't play last week? Well, word was he was managed.
Yeah, well, that's obviously not ideal.
How are you managing somebody who's only played one game?
The thing about it, though, Kingy, is that with this 6-6, the quick kick in is going to require some players who are slightly fleet of foot. I don't know that you're going to require the tall forward line. At 196, Lockie Henderson, 198, Harry Taylor, and 199, Mark Blitzhalves. I don't, particularly with Henderson and Blitzhalves, who are not the quickest and most nimble players, their go is to read the flight of the ball.
Yep. Which Blitzhalves did very well against Essendon last week.
Well, Henderson and Taylor are superb at it. And Blitzhalves, for somebody who doesn't come from a footy background, he's really good at that. Mm. He's really good. And what he can do then is close down because he has that long gate that has the capacity to get from a contest, leave his man, and actually make the ground to get to the contest. Well, Harry Taylor and Lockie Henderson, they don't have that leg speed. So I just don't see how they can all play. Particularly, there'll be some weeks when they just can't.
No.
Because the opposition won't allow it. Yep. No. So, but they seem intent on doing it in the JLT.
They won't be able to do it against Collingwood.
So what's happened with Jed Buzan? He hasn't played in either game.
No, Jed is sore. He obviously had a shoulder, the old ladder jet surgery in the off season on the shoulder. He had it done very, very early. It was done in September. Anyway, he spent most of pre-Christmas running, and from what I understand, that pre-Christmas running has caught up with him, and he's just hasn't pulled up well in recent weeks. So I don't. Jed won't play round one, I wouldn't have thought, and I don't think he plays against Werribee in the VFL Pracky this week either.
We heard Lee Brown say, well, that's disappointing for Jed, because for my back six,
yep,
he's in it.
He's in a pocket.
Fit, he's in it, yeah. We heard Lee Brown say on K-Rock Footy that he didn't feel that Lockie Henderson or Harry Taylor were part of the Cats' best defence.
Oh, I think Harry Taylor still is. I saw stuff from Harry Taylor in the second game that says that Harry's still got something.
Well, let's hope. That'd be fantastic. And he's obviously had a big preseason, lost some, I think he might have even lost some more weight on top of the weight he lost the previous year, on top of that weight he lost the previous year. He's actually thinner than a supermodel sandwich at the moment, is Harry Taylor, but he's fit and firing. So it's a really big year for him. I mean, he's been such a wonderful player. And he would know that there's rumblings out there, that people are sort of writing him off, and you want to write off a champion. At the other end, Kingy, the forward line, how that structures up. It's they've gone and got, obviously, Dalhouse and Rowan, who played well against Essendon, albeit I'm not sure that the headline, did you read the headline from one of the journos in the Herald Sun? His opening line was Stephen Wells has done it again on the back of a practice match. Yes. So I think he may have over-raced there. He may need a gear change, that journo. just keep your powder dry.
Yep.
They were good. Obviously, they've brought them in. They are a lock, at least initially, to play the roles as sort of half forward. Mm. It seems Ablett is going to play a lot more up forward, which I think is probably a good thing. He won't have the possession numbers, but he may have more influence on the game.
Yep.
That might sound strange, but I reckon that is a good move. And then you've obviously got Hawkins, Radigalia. The other one too, where's Nakia Cockatoo at? He's one that I'd...
He's going to have to play some time in the VFL.
Is he training?
No. He's one of the great mysteries of life.
Is it Elliot Ness? Do we need to get Elliot Ness involved?
Just on the Cats forward line, if the Cats had have set up 6-6-6 at the first bounce of the elimination final against Melbourne, and that six in the forward line, and you change those, only one player from that 6-6-6 will be in the six that starts against Collingwood, and that's Hawkins, because you'll have Dalhouse, Rowan, Atkins, Radigalia, and Ablett.
Yeah,
inside that.
And that's that, look. That might be. It could be a really good thing. I mean, Atkins is he doesn't have a lot of tricks, but you know what you're going to get, and he's going to provide you with a contest every
time.
Did a couple of
nice things against.
Yeah, he sold some candy.
He seems to be able to let play go by him.
Yep.
And hold his spot and be able to just stop.
I reckon he is, and I think might have been Lee Brown again who made the point, or it could have been Sean Higgins, that the Bulldogs have somebody like a Liam Picken.
Yep.
Well, Tommy Atkins could potentially be the Cats' Liam Picken,
yep,
who's not the flashiest player, but he does some good things, and he gives you 100%. There's not a lot of drop-off from his best to his worst.
No.
His best is not going to be,
he's not winning a brand
three
mate.
Votes,
no.
But his worst is still offering you something for the team.
He's going to be a bloke that when the magnets are put on the board on a Wednesday, when they pick on the side, they don't debate him. He's just the magnets on the board.
I agree. I think he's so it's going to be a very different looking team up forward. Obviously, Joel Selwood, hopefully they're trying to find him an ability to win a little bit of an easier possession.
Yeah.
He looked tired last year. He looked battle weary.
Wing.
So,
time
yeah.
On the wing.
And let's hope that the team allows him to continue to do that rather than struggling, because the instant they start to struggle, they'll put Selwood in the middle.
Yep.
So and he's going to have to play in the middle at times. I'm not saying he's going to spend his...
Does the 6-6-6 mean Dangerfield doesn't spend as much time forward?
Yeah. I think Ablett, you can't have Ablett forward and Dangerfield.
So all of a sudden, your centre square setup is Dangerfield, Kelly, the Ruckman, and a Duncan.
Potentially.
Yeah.
Potentially.
I really like
Charlie Constable. I think he's going to be an absolute gun for the Cats. He's still a couple of years away,
though. He'll play round one.
Yeah, well, his hands are unbelievable. His handball and his vision is as good as I've ever seen from a young player. He's just not quite big enough at the moment to play that inside midfield role. He's a couple of years away. He needs to put on another 5 or 6 kilos because he will get battered. He's the one that will get battered playing that role. And he's just not quite big enough. But when I mean big enough, I don't mean height-wise, because he's about 190, 191.
And maybe a bit more. Yeah, 192.
So size, height-wise, he's fine. Just body strength-wise at the moment, he's probably still a year or two away. But really, I really, really, really like Charlie Constable as a player. I think he's going to be one of those very difficult to tag sort of players, because the way he wins his possession, it's almost impossible to tag him. So, and he can take a mark, and his kicking is good. He's a really good kick. Although we don't see it a whole lot because he doesn't win it in space a lot. No. But when he does, he can really penetrate, and he's a really good, efficient kick. The other obviously issue that Geelong will need to sort out is the ruck. Now I know Rhys Stanley right now is the number one ruckman. Yep. He was, his JLT was just. They've given him a 2-year deal on the back of 6 games. They put Darcy Fort in ahead of Abbott as the second ruckman in the JLT, which means Abbott is...
Yeah, a little bit to do with Abbott being a little bit hamstrung through the preseason. He had some back issues from what I understand. So he wasn't probably right for that intensity of footy. He had probably needed to have that hit out in the VFL last week first. And I wouldn't be surprised if he has another hit out in the VFL this week.
So you'd think it's Stanley and then they'll only go with one ruckman, because Darcy Fort looked a long way from it.
He did, actually, yeah. And I think that might have caught the club by surprise, because they were a big rap for him through the pre-season.
Yeah,
but I think things change once you get to... And apparently he held his own okay against Goldstein in the behind-closed-doors hit out against North Melbourne. So
I've held my own reasonably well behind closed doors too.
Oh, dear. It started early.
He just looked a long way from it.
Yep. So Dalhous and Rowan will play their first games for Geelong. You think Atkins is a lock?
Yep. Constable could potentially debut. Could be 4 debutants.
Jordan Clark is a lock.
Jordan Clark. So it could be 5 debutants in that team. And that will be... That's a good thing, because it's putting pressure on guys who potentially previously were established in the side. Mm. So that no longer is the case. The Jordan Clark one is interesting, because that pushes... Well,
Tui's not going to play round.
Tui won't play, so he potentially takes that role. Jed Buse, I mean, you've got Henry. I reckon there's some weeks Geelong could go with Blitzarves and Henry as their 2 key defenders. Yep. And Colajasny, because Henry and Colajasny can play on smaller players.
Yep.
I don't know that Henderson and Taylor can.
Yep.
Taylor used to be able to do that when he was a little bit more agile and right in his prime. He's not in his prime anymore. No. Still has some value potentially when he plays, but I don't know that you could put him on a 189 sort of player who's a bit nimble. Yep. Whereas you can with Colajasny and Henry. Yep.
I think Clark debuts because Tui's not available. If Tui was available, maybe they might have said to Clark, we'll get you to run through the VFL.
He looked good.
But he's got some, yeah.
The thing there, Kingy, that we're talking about is that there are question marks over the defence.
Yep.
In terms of the makeup
the
of
setup,
it.
Yep.
There are question marks potentially over, maybe not question marks over the midfield. You'd think that's probably the one area that is set with Dangerfield, Selwood, Duncan, Kelly.
Menegola,
potentially Guthrie running through there. So there's your sort of mix of midfield.
Yep.
Forward is a bit of a lottery.
Mm. I think we've got an idea.
We've got an idea, but though, I mean, Tommy Atkins, he only needs to have 2 games where he struggles, and suddenly they might look to somebody else. Gary Rowan, his form, he was really good, I know, against Essendon, but his form over the last couple of years at Sydney has been very, very average. So he needs to find something. He needs to establish himself in that side. He's not an established player at Geelong. Obviously, Ablett is, but there's Radigalia. Now, he's a kid. He's played 8 games. So if you I think Cat fans, and he does some exciting things, don't get me wrong, but if you're expecting him to be a 22-week player...
I reckon they've just got to play him.
I think they do too. Fit, but there'll be games where he's in witness protection.
Yeah, but you just play him. You just persist
with him. I 100% agree with you. You've got to keep... And some of his ground-level stuff against the Bombers was fantastic, as well as his aerial
and
stuff.
And his confidence is only going to grow as he plays more footy. You could tell that he was a bloke that was just finding his way against the Eagles. There were two different Savaradigalis in the jail.
But you got him. He's coming off a pretty serious
injury.
That's
what I mean. That's what I say. He's going to take some time to but the way he flies at the footy, and if they want that ball brought to ground, the way that they want it set up with those small forwards creating pressure, that's, especially GMHBA, where it's a bit tighter in those pockets and stuff like that. If he brings it to ground in the middle, let him go to work.
My thing is that Cat fans need to be patient with him. If he has 3 weeks where he struggles, don't get on his back, because he's still very inexperienced. But I agree with you. They just have to keep playing him. They've got to get him to 50 games. Mm. And then you'll start to see a player start to really develop. But he alongside with Hawkins is an interesting one. So my point there is that we're talking about the mix of the team. On the eve of the season, we really don't know. And I don't think previous years Geelong have... for whatever tried to reinvent things. I mean, they had Blitzarves all year last year as their best and fairest in defence. Didn't he play in the ruck in the final?
No.
He had time in the ruck.
He had to because they were getting that well.
They were getting pants, but that you can't. Do you reckon Richmond put Alex Rance in the ruck if they're struggling?
No,
they don't.
But Blitzarves has won the best and fairest as a ruckman. Remember?
Yeah, true. I think, but we're always trying. Harry Taylor spent the year forward, just struggled, just couldn't get the footy. They tried to play Mitch Duncan off halfback, just didn't work. They're always trying to reinvent something. Whereas you look at Collingwood, I could name you their starting lineup.
Yep.
Now. You look at West Coast, I could name you there. There's no, everybody knows their role. Mm. Melbourne, everybody know, you know where the players are going to play. There's a predictability within the group. And there's also
they're predictable to themselves.
Correct.
Yep.
Sydney, I know some people think Sydney are in the decline. But you look at their team and you know where everyone plays. You know their roles.
Yep.
With Geelong, you're saying, I don't know what's going to happen here. Well, I'm not sure about this. So that's something that they're going to have to sort out. I'd love to see them, barring injury, obviously injuries mean you're going to have to change the side, but I'd love to see them go with a settled, put a guy in a spot and leave him there.
Yep.
Allow him to develop in that
Which
spot.
I think you've seen that's going to happen already.
Well, let's hope so, because the chopping and changing has just been, been mind-boggling.
Does your head in.
It does.
We are the only Geelong podcast that takes answers, questions, and we provide answers.
Right.
Or try to, from our social media sphere. So off the at Cat Attack podcast Twitter, a few questions. Ben at the Cattery, should the person responsible for the Queen's Park Bridge hit be up for the death penalty? It's a bit harsh.
Wow.
Although it's caused absolute chaos for traffic for those in the upper reaches of Geelong.
Oh, the four-wheel drive's getting through there from over.
And in a separate question, was it Chris Scott?
Well,
you can't blame him for that. The tips man, has Chris got a squad that can take him to a flag in 2019?
I think he's got a squad. Well, they've assembled a squad that they think should be taking them to the flag. Whether or not that happens is another thing. But I'd say on talent and experience, yes.
Yep. I think, but they could easily finish 12th too.
That's my point.
Yeah.
They could finish top four and you'd say, yeah, well, they probably should.
Yeah.
And they could miss the eight and you say, well, yeah, I sort of expected that.
Also off the at Cat Attack podcast Twitter, Boxhead 31, our mate Dave, was the fact that Daz Broncos was working the Grammys instead of the Oscars the reason there was no envelope issues this year?
That could have been. Daz had to try in London Fog and Lift. Mickey. Just London Fog racing on Saturday too, can you? Return to racing.
Whereabouts?
This is one of the equine stories
at the St. Patrick's
of the year.
At the St. Patrick's Geelong.
In the St. Patrick Cup.
I am there on Saturday afternoon.
So am I. I'll be there front and square.
Geelong.
So.
I'll be at the Thoroughbred Club of Geelong Luncheon.
It's been 18 months since we've seen the great son of Econs.
What, since it won the Balan?
No, he hasn't raced since September of 2007. He's had a tendon injury, but
when did
making
it win the Balan? Was it 2016?
Yeah, that was the year before.
Oh, gee. Where's that time?
Still got the trophy at home.
Mick Howley, as a long, hot summer moves into autumn, the day's getting shorter and cricket gives way for football. Why is it that the blue and white hoops get the arousal levels going better than the tax man on June 30?
Mix them a bit of philosopher style there.
That's almost when I get
like
to
one of those kids from Hanson.
Yeah. I've had a big off-season, lads. Confident I can make those late-game efforts on the Spirits to get the team over the line.
That's Twiggy, isn't it?
Yes.
He loves his refreshments, Twiggy. That extra bourbon and coal, the old Alison Durbin late in the game, Twiggy might get the Cats home.
With the Fanatic, with Gary Ablett Jr. playing more time in the forward line this year, I can't help but think of his dad doing the same and kicking 100-plus goals 3 years in a row. Could history repeat? Is it possible? No.
No, he's a different sort of beast to his dad.
Although there was a couple of times he came out on the lead last week with the shoulders hunched over that you sort of, if you were only sort of squinting, you go, well, that's a five.
Gaz Sr. was just a bit taller and he played taller than Gary Jr.
He was better overhead.
Gary's, I hope they do stick with Ablett forward because his efficiency and his capacity, touches the ball 15 times, I guarantee you the Cats probably score four or five goals from those touches.
I was going to say, you'll have seven or eight score involvements.
Yeah.
If he gets it, and he'll kick a couple. If he averages a goal and a half, if they get 35 goals out of Ablett, I reckon that's a good return.
I mentioned it on the JLT pre-game, Kingy, or during the game too, that one of the things for Ablett will be his frustration levels in that he's not just going to be able to go if he is up forward just go and find a possession at will. So he's going to have to work through that mentally, that there may be 5, 6, 7, 8 minutes where he doesn't touch the ball, and he's not used to that. So he has to sort of keep himself in the game. It'll be really interesting to see how that unfolds for him throughout this year.
Daniel Sterling, I can't help but be positive. I feel like we should be with the list. Top four, I think, is a realistic expectation, but who knows? First half a dozen or so rounds important.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I think top four is... It has to be realistic with what they've accrued over the last few years in terms of players.
You don't recruit to finish mid-table.
No, and what happened last year, though, puts a dampener on that. So that's why Geelong are sort of in flux, and I think most people have really no idea where they might finish. Most of the experts, I'm tipping, have Geelong somewhere between 7 and 12.
Yep. Ross Mueller, Savin Hawke, is this the tall timber combination we've been waiting for?
The unfortunate part of that is that when Sav hits his peak, he's probably 24, yep. 25. So Tommy Hawkins won't be there.
Yep.
Yeah, they're not actually going to cross.
Interesting, though, last year when they played together, Hawke didn't play his best footy.
Hawkins'
best footy came after Radaglia went down.
Correct. And it'd be really interesting to see this year how Jack Riewoldt goes with Tom Lynch up forward with him. Because he was the man last year. He was their only tall forward, Jack Riewoldt, and he relished the role. How he goes with Tommy Lynch will be interesting, as much as Tom Hawkins, how he goes with Radaglia alongside too. So having those two there on paper, you think, it's a bit like the ruckman who struggles when he has to do the ruck roll in tandem with someone, but when he gets handed the reins solo,
yep,
suddenly he turns into Gary Dempsey.
Well, that's what happened to Todd Goldstein. That's how his career
the Finkelstein
took off. All of a sudden, he went alone when McIntosh was gone, and bang, Todd Goldstein goes down.
Where did McIntosh end up? He got on the three-year dealer at the Cats.
We have a Cat Attack podcast 2019 thread on Big Footy, thanks to the team at the Geelong Cats board. We've posed the questions there as well. Turbo Cat, list changes since last year, good or bad? Rowan and Dalhouse, at Atkins and Clark will look like they may contribute in 2019.
Yeah, the jury's still out for me on Rowan, his consistency. Dalhouse, you know what you get with him. He's not flashy, but he is a terrier. So I think that's probably a good move. The Rowan one, I think we can only assess that in time. I mean, what Gary Rowan does is sometimes can seduce you because it's flashy, but he can also go missing. So
interesting. Dalhouse got a four-year deal. Rowan only got two.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Luke got... Dalhouse got four, but for a bloke who's not a great kick and he's knee-eye to a grasshopper, but that's probably overs there. His manager's done a good job to get 4 years. But look, I'm not against that.
Got Foreman giving four-year deals.
Yeah, I could turn out to be a rod for their own back, given his history too, rumblings of some off-field stuff at the Western Bulldogs with Luke Dalhouse. So let's hope that's all straightened up. But, I mean, Clark looks really good. He's obviously a young player, so he's going to take a few years. But he's certainly got some serious X factor about the way he plays the game. So he'll be in and out of the senior side this year. And hopefully, if he could get 10 games under his belt, that'd be a great start.
Do you think Ablett Ford will work? What's an acceptable outcome?
I would have thought, yeah, I do. I really like Ablett Ford. I thought if Gaz could kick, let's say 25 to 30 goals, because I reckon he'll set up more than he might kick.
Yep.
So he might kick a goal a game, but he'll set up three with his vision and his creativity and all those sorts of things that some of the guys we've had previously didn't have. So I really like that. And I would have thought, yeah, somewhere between the 30 goals for me would be a fantastic outcome.
What's an acceptable outcome after the first four rounds? This is still Turbo Cat, by the way.
2-2.
Yeah, I would say the same. Fred Ledeur, he's just added to what Turbo Cat had to say. Rather than creating goals for himself, he's saying that, yeah, creating goals for himself and others would probably be is a bit of a gauge, a bit like Steve Johnson used to do.
Yeah. I don't think the way Ablett will play the role is, I don't think you can just judge him on how many goals he might kick.
Mm.
It's how many he creates for others
and
sets up
for
others.
There was the perfect example of that. I think it was going to the City End. He had the ball in the pocket and he was just able to hit up Dangerfield 40 out from goal, slight angle.
And even one to Hawkins too.
Yeah,
he kicked one to Hawkins in the pocket. His capacity to weight kicks to the advantage of his teammate, I reckon, is second to none. He's unbelievable. It doesn't drill them. They're easy to mark. Those drilling balls that Dangerfield sometimes kicks, very difficult to mark, even when they come off. But Ablett's capacity to weight, his vision, And his ability to bring others into the game and make good decisions is going to be a huge plus. I just hope that this opening round of games here is obviously a really tough stretch. Mm. Now, if worst case scenario, let's say the Cats are 0-2, I hope they don't resist the temptation then, oh, let's put Ablett in the middle. Mm. And he plays well in the middle because he will. He'll get a lot of the ball.
Yep.
And then it's all he suddenly be back into the midfield mix again. I just they've got to stick with him up forward.
And if they do prolong his career beyond this year, I think it has to be as a forward.
Yeah, well, look, no one's thinking about next year for him, even him, hopefully. Let's hope just get through this year and see what happens.
Season number 18 it will be for him. Yeah. And finally, Cat to the future. With the importance and influence of Ruckman having been elevated in the last 2 years, how much more important will they be if the real changes have the desired effect and the value of a centre clearance increases dramatically? Your Ruckman's just got to get hands on the footy.
Well, you've got to find a way to win it out of the middle because there's going to be some games decided, I think, this year on your capacity to score out of your clearances, clear clearances from the middle, yeah. And there's going to be a lot more of those.
Well,
so your ability to turn those into goals, if you can get 2 or 3 goals a game out of that clearance, rather than just that long kick that goes in and is marked by a defender, if you can actually somehow find a way to create goals from those clearances, that will decide some games.
Cats of the Future asked a couple more questions. We might answer those next week when we do a pre-round one show. And obviously this week, VFL, they're hoping Scott Selwood can get through a game there and whether he puts his hands up for round one. Just a quick one. Is Scott Selwood still in Geelong's best 22?
Oh, jeez. Right now? Look, for me personally, there's so many ifs. If are you saying, coming off injury right now, round one, best 22, no.
Yep.
If he's fully fit with a few VFL games under his belt, potentially, he's on the fringe. Mm. He's had such a horrid run with injuries. He needs everything to go right.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Out of the leadership group, by the way. Tom Stewart into the leadership group, which is fantastic.
Yeah, it was good.
Is he the next captain of Geelong?
Oh, I don't know. Is he? I'm not sure. Has he got that sort of leadership quality about him? I don't know. I don't know him well. I don't know. I don't know how he fits in within the group in terms of his personality and all those sorts of things. He doesn't strike me initially. I could be way off the mark, but he doesn't strike me initially as captain, sort of AFL captain sort of material. I'm not, and that's no disrespect to him. I mean, not everybody's wired like a Joel Selwood or a, you know, Trent Cotchin or a, you know,
But you probably would have said Trent Cotchin wasn't an AFL captain.
I don't know. He wouldn't be my, I would have thought potentially there's probably someone like a Blitzarves who's potentially maybe ahead of him.
Well, it all comes down
to. But they do need more leadership. Yep. I know that it's an area that it does need work.
Yep.
Joel Selwood needs more help as a leader of the footy club. So hopefully they're with guys like, obviously with Tui and Tommy Stewart getting on board. They do need to develop that next leader. Just quickly too, Lachie Fogarty, what is happening with him, King? Do you have any idea? Question without nose.
Yeah, I did get an update last week. He's close to returning to running.
So he's miles away then?
Yeah, he's got a few weeks.
So he potentially, given it's only his second year of footy, he could have a year in the VFL.
Yeah, don't rush him.
Because he's, it will depend.
Because he's in the, this is very Link McCarthy-like with what he's had.
Yeah,
with the groins and then going for the hip surgery.
And Link going beautifully up there in Brisbane.
He's going okay.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, so anyway, plenty to talk about.
Good work, Kingy. We'll be back next week with a bit of more Cat Attack podcast. Stay tuned, sit tight, go London Fog. Get out there en masse on Saturday for St. Pat's Cup because the great son of E-Consul will do battle.
Thanks for listening. You can subscribe to the Cat Attack podcast on iTunes.